go ahead. I want you to go ahead and give. And then I'm actually going to jump straight into the message. Is that all right with everybody? Amen. You excited to dig into the word today? Anybody else excited to dig into the word? Come on. We're gonna go back to we've been in a series out of Ephesians chapter 6. We've been preaching on the armor of God. And has anybody enjoyed the series? We enjoyed teaching the talkings, the time together where we've studied the word. I've loved studying on it. You know, I heard so much about the armor of God as a kid. But the application of it was always difficult for me. Like, how do I take what I learned as a kid, understanding all of these armor pieces, you know, as I was taught these things, and how do I apply it, right? I was talking to Sky actually yesterday, and we were talking about, like, how you can have knowledge, but if you don't understand how to apply knowledge, that knowledge is worth nothing, right? So you need to make sure you understand how to apply the things that we learn. And so I was excited to kind of dig into the armor of God. It's been a very fun time of studying for me. I've come under a lot of attack while preaching about it, which is very interesting. So I have needed all of it. I needed all of it yesterday at the Apple Barn. You'll hear about that in just a minute. Lord Jesus, we all needed it. So if you would you stand with me as we read? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's read that one more time. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God, I pray this morning that you would make it easy to preach. Get me through this. Let my words be your words. My thoughts be your thoughts. I love you, Lord. We love you. Pierce our hearts. Pierce our minds. Let us leave here changed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. We're going to read the church declaration really quick. Let's read that together. All right. I am loved by God, and I have a purpose. Lord, help me today to discover my purpose or develop in my purpose in order to become all that you desire for me to become. I'm heavily medicated today. This is going one way or another. Either the Holy Ghost about to tear this place up, or it's going to be a comedy skit. Lord Jesus. I mentioned the Apple Barn because yesterday it was a very interesting, goodness gracious, y'all. Okay, so we all go up there and there's about, 40 of us, 45 of us that went to the Apple Barn yesterday before we went to Dollywood. We met there at 11 o'clock. We were walking in, and they have a back room for large parties, okay? And we walk into this back room, and we're all sitting in there maybe 10 seconds. And when I say 10, I mean every bit of 10 to 15 seconds, and I kid you not, I wasn't even sitting down yet. Shane looks at me and goes, "Hey, you want to go ahead and pray for the food because the fritters are out." I said, "No, man, you go ahead. Go ahead." I'm still walking to my table trying to figure out where I'm going to sit. So Shane stands up and he looks over. He says, and very, very quietly, by the way, really wasn't that loud. Shane can get loud, but he didn't get that loud. I really didn't think he got that loud. He said, "Hey, Lifegate family, we're going to go ahead and pray now." We had nine tables in there, nine tables, I don't know, something like that. He goes, "We're going to pray." And so he started praying. And all of a sudden, the moment that we get done, the moment that he gets done praying, there is this woman. Remember why Adam fell. We're getting going early. This woman stands up. I mean, my goodness, she stands up and she starts yelling at us in the middle of Apple Barn. You guys need to shut up. You're all so rude. I can't even hear over my food. 10 seconds, bro? We've been here 10 seconds. We ain't interrupt our meal. We ain't even yelling. You're the one yelling. Starts yelling, and I mean, she goes on for like 30, 40 seconds. And I'm sitting over here like, all right, so I'm here still standing up. She's back there. I look at the woman, and I just look twice, and I say, get to your seat. And I kid you not, y'all, we got some people. And we had some people in that group. Don't mess with people. It took every bit of the Holy Ghost to keep my mouth shut, to keep my wife's mouth shut, to keep Erica's mouth shut, to keep Blake's mouth shut, to keep Shane's mouth shut. Y'all, I'm telling you, we had some people. You don't mess with us. Like, we saved, but we still got a pass. The old Jamie wanted to come out. I said, get to your seat. And Shane goes, God bless you. I said, oh, no, he did not. Bless those who curse you. And then another woman at the table, wearing a witch shirt, had the audacity to go, oh, don't start that God bless me crap with us. We go to church too. I'm like, don't look like it. I don't know what that was. I did though. Right? Because, see, what happens is when people come in truly acting like Christ, filled with the presence of God, and we walk into the room together. That weak little demon couldn't stand us all being in the same room together. That weak little, petty little demon. See, I'm gonna make a spectacle because I don't get, weak little thing. You know why? Because here's the deal. We're talking about the helmet of salvation today. And all I could think was, like, I just walked in. I need to strap that thing down. And it seemed like, and I kid you not, y'all, the Holy Spirit literally just had to come over all of us to bite our tongue, shut our mouths, and not say a word. And then the woman has the audacity to go tell the manager we started an argument with her. I like, dang, you crazy and you lying. What's wrong with this woman? Now me, I was looking at her husband. I ain't saying what's next. Let's get to the point. About to get in trouble. The point is that, to be honest with you, because we had the helmet on, because we didn't throw our salvation to the side, we didn't throw Jesus to the side, and we let him be who only he can be to us in our life, all of us kept going and acted like nothing happened. And I guarantee you that, no, I not guarantee you, I know it ate the woman up so bad that she made her whole table box up their food and leave. And the thing about that is that for me in my flesh, and for all of us in our flesh, insults
harsh language, somebody badgering me, yelling at me, had I not had a helmet on to where it just like hit up against it and I didn't care? See, the thing is that we get attacked all the time. As believers, sometimes it's louder than others. Sometimes it's quieter than other times. But at the end of the day, it's important that we put the helmet of salvation on so that our minds are clear enough to where we're not hearing the things of the world. We're not hearing demonic spirits speak to us. We're not listening to the garbage that's coming in. Our mind is protected by the attacks that are coming our way. Okay, so when we talk about the helmet of salvation today, I want you to understand it is possible to bite your tongue and defend off attacks when the enemy is clearly after us, okay? So I want to make this point. It was a choice that all of us had to put that on to keep from saying something. Because life is about choices. You choose to accept the salvation that Jesus has for you. You choose to walk the narrow way. You choose to do things the right way. You choose to do the right thing even when everybody else is doing the wrong thing. You make a choice, and the place that the choice takes place is in your mind. You make that choice based on after all of your emotions and all of the stuff's been hitting you in your soul and everything else and everywhere else, the choice comes from your mind because your body does what your mind tells it to do. It's a choice. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a choice. All right, so let's talk about a helmet real quick, okay? Now, first of all, I know that Paul's talking about a helmet from a standpoint of, like, armor, okay? But I also think about, like, I also think about a football helmet when I think about a helmet. That's the first thing, I don't know about you, but I think about a football helmet, right? Because in football, you wear armor too, right? You wear pads. Wear it here, you wear it, you know, you wear it on your legs, you wear it, you know, on your chest and up here. I wore a flak jacket, you know, because I was a quarterback, so I don't wear my whole midsection. But you got a helmet on, right? Right, and the point in football is to not ever use your helmet. Right, really, you don't ever want to use the helmet. You never want to have to use the helmet. The point is actually to not get hit at all. If you got the ball in your hands, you're trying to score without getting hit. It would be very dumb for you to see the end zone, see somebody over there that's backwards or sideways and just take off just because you want to hit them. And oftentimes that's what we do spiritually. We get aggravated at the demons chasing us. We get aggravated at life chasing us. And instead of staying straightforward right down the path that we need to go to get across the goal line to fulfill our purpose, to accomplish our goals, what we oftentimes do is we get mad and we go for the things we got no sense in going towards because we want to make them pay. When in all actuality, God's like, I got a purpose for you. I got a plan for you. I got a path for you. Stick to the path. Using the helmet is something that is not something that you want to have to do, okay? Using the helmet is not something that you want to have to do. It's something that you use only when needed. Because here's the deal. You can take hits to your body and they won't kill you. But when you take hits to your mind and you take hits to your head, I think about that. Think about like all the players that like, you know, when they lower their shoulders. Honestly, like I could get hit anywhere in here. But if someone hit me with their helmet on my head, I'm either going to have a concussion, I might bleed out, it might take me out. And that's the reason why the helmet is so important, is because you need to understand that the blows don't come to the body. I mean, the deadly blows don't come to the body. The deadly blows come to the head. Like, think about it. When you hear about people committing suicide, why do they do that? Not because their chest is hurting. Not because they got some pain in their body. It's because they got something going on in their mind. It's because they're facing attacks from left and right to their head. So you have to be understanding of what the helmet's purpose is and just how critically important it is. Because as we move through this, you need to understand the importance of it, okay? Because I think that the question that I asked when I was preparing this message and getting this ready, I was like, okay, God, so how do we protect our minds? You know, I know there's a helmet, but how do we actually apply that, right? All right, so I want to go back to the verse in Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to look at the way that the verse is structured. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you see that there is no separation? There's a conjunction. What I mean by that, little English lesson. The "and" there is referring to everything that comes after the comma is part of that first portion. Now, we always have learned that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. True. But if you actually look at the way that the sentence is structured, and you look at the way that the Greek sentence is structured, you'll see that the helmet of salvation is also the Word of God. Did you know that? Let's look up some Bible. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on in John chapter 1, it says, and the Word became flesh. What was Jesus for us? Salvation. Are you tracking? Because see, a lot of times what I hear is I'm going to put that on, but then If you don't understand that salvation is also the Word and not just the sword, the Word is not just the sword, but the Word is also salvation, if you don't grasp that, then you won't understand the importance of reading your Bible. Because see, here's the deal. There's a story where Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days, and I preached on this a couple months ago, and then Satan comes himself, and he comes to tempt Jesus, right? So he comes in to tempt Jesus. I want you to think about that for just a second. Like, I hear this all the time, and I believe it, I agree with it, right? I've even preached it, that Jesus, like, Satan knows Scripture so well that he came in and tried to use it against Jesus, right? He knows Scripture better than you do, better than I do. Right, and we talk about that aspect of that story, but what we don't talk about is the fact that Satan literally thought he could come and tempt Jesus. The audacity that this guy had. First, in Colossians, it says that all things were created through him, for him. And I believe it uses the word by him. Which means that he thought he could go get daddy and trick him. The guy who made him. Now, there's some people, that scholars out there, that will try to argue. And this is actually in some denominations. And I think that the Latter-day Saints actually will argue this. That they believe that Jesus and Satan were spirit brothers. Now, I'm going down a path here because I want you to understand it, so just stick with me, okay? I'm going to tie it all together, put it in a pretty little bow, okay? Just give me a second. They think that because there's a lot of people that think that Satan may be a spirit brother of Jesus. But my Bible tells me that Jesus is what they call the only begotten Son. Now, do you understand what that truly means? Now, in the Greek, this is what it is. The word is a combination, only begotten mono, which is where we get monotheism, which is where all the religious people who were one God, right? Right? Islam, Judaism, one God, monotheism, right? Mono, the word for one, and then genos, which is where we get the word genealogy or race or kind. So the word literally means one of a kind. Now, anybody who's a man that has a brother or a sister, you have a sibling, you are not one of a kind. Do you see what I'm saying? There is nobody. Now, you might be very different, don't get me wrong, from your sibling. But regardless, you are not one of a kind. Jesus was one of a kind. Meaning there is nobody like him. There is nobody even close to like him. He knows more than anyone. But yet here Satan is thinking he's good enough. Here's the thing. Jesus withstood it. But can we? On our own, no. Because here's the deal. Let me show you how similar Jesus and Satan are in terminology. You ever read in the Bible where it says that Satan is the morning star? The word is not actually doesn't say the, it says O morning star was how it was described. And then over in Revelation, so that's the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, Jesus himself tells John, he says, I am the bright morning star. There's a distinction between two. He's like, yeah, Satan's a morning star, but I'm the bright morning star. Also, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But did you know the Bible also says that Satan is a lion seeking whom he may devour? Just because you have the same name or you have a similar title does not mean you have the same power. But so oftentimes, we can get tricked into believing that just because someone is a fill in the blank with a title, they're all the same. Oh no. But that is what Satan is hoping that you will believe. So that when you come up against someone who gives you a word of knowledge and speaks Bible to you, you'll believe him just because. It is so important for you to protect your mind with the word of God. If you do not know the word, and not only know the word, but how to apply the word. See, because the difference and distinction between what happened with Jesus when he was up there being tempted by Satan was, it's not that he just knew scripture. It's because he knew the application of the scripture. But you and I, as believers, most believers will only read their word when they come to church, when the pastor preaches from it. Some of you won't read another single verse the rest of the week. But you expect to walk out into the world and deal with depression and anxiety and fear and worry and stress, but you don't protect your mind with the word of God. The helmet will save you from situations if you will just make the decision to put it on. Wake up in the morning, read your Bible. Eat lunch, read your Bible. Have dinner. Read your Bible at the dinner table with your family. Go to bed. Read your Bible. Put on the word. It will save you from so many situations that you will ever face. We fail to put salvation on because we're too lazy or too interested in Instagram, Facebook, the news, Snapchat. We're too interested in all the other stuff. We got time to sit down at our lunch break and scroll through Facebook 45 minutes, but we can't tap the Bible app and listen to the Bible. It is not hard. Literally, technology has made it so easy for you and I to consume the word. But yet we are so lazy or uninterested until we need it. It's like, oh no, Jesus! I don't have a helmet. to save us, but we don't want to do what we are supposed to do. Faith without works is put on your helmet. Put the word on all throughout your day. Because it's the only way that you're going to stay protected. Is if you understand scripture and how to apply it. You can't know it if you don't read it. So, it's easy sometimes, like the time in the yesterday at Apple Barn, to see the attack when it's coming. But other times, it's not. Why? Because Satan and his demons are so stinking good at manipulating scripture, so you and I have got to stand on the word. You've got to read the word. You've got to protect yourself with the word, because attacks are coming. But Jesus used his mouth to go back at it. See, because that's the next part of it that I'll get to later, is the sword. The sword was what came out of his mouth, because the power of life and death lies in the tongue. You either suck that sword back in, or you let it come out and you chop the head off of the demons, right? Not literally, but spiritually, like literally, like that's what happens. So, but like, you got to protect your mind first, because if you're not protected, you won't know how to respond. It's one in the same. You can't have salvation without the word, because the word became flesh, and the word is Jesus. So, I'm gonna close. I don't know how to get this off. I thought because I wasn't feeling as great today, I need to wear a jacket. Plus, my wife is always telling me, like, you know, you look like a preacher if you wear a jacket. It's like, 1 week, can you wear one? I'm like, man, I try to make it past the second song without wanting to take it off, but I just, my goodness. So, I'm gonna finish up here. Anybody ever seen? All right. I want to tell this story. Okay, so every time I get sick, I have this little tradition where I sit in front of the television and I watch Star Wars. I only get like really sick, like I've only over the course of my life gotten really sick like a couple times, or like once a year I'll get sick. I don't know why, but I've just traditionally done that. I'm about to rebuke that right now. Get that cycle out of here, Lord. But I sit down and watch Star Wars, and this week I was watching Mandalorian. Anybody watch Mandalorian? Anybody like The Mandalorian? All right, yeah, some of y'all are old school Star Wars fans, right? Anybody old school Star Wars fans? Yeah, like the old school Star Wars? Some of you, if you think we're all heathens, will you raise your hands? but I was watching The Mandalorian yesterday. You can go ahead and play. I love when I'm telling my final story that I can tell, like, especially with the babies in here, that it's time to go. Lyra's like, I'm going to keep the babies in here every week so we get out with the Baptist people. Oh my gosh. But I was watching an episode, and at the end of like the last season and heading into like the first or the third season, at the end of the second season, heading into the third season, the Mandalorian, he took his helmet off. Now, if you understand the Mandalorians, like that's not the way. It's not the way, okay? Like, you leave your helmet on. And if you take your helmet off, like the creed or the covenant is broken. And it's so interesting as I watch this.
as I was watching it and I was listening to all these different things, like if you take it off and you break the covenant, what you have to do is you got to go back to the living waters. I'm not making this up. Go watch it. It's incredible. He goes, you got to go back to the living waters and you got to fully submerge and baptize yourself in the living waters to renew the covenant and creed. I'm like, no way. I'm like, Holy Ghost, this is good. Like, you mean to tell me that there are people out here making TV shows and movies that literally just basically describe the Bible? Salvation. This is the way. It's crazy how all those pieces work together. But I'll say this. The part that got me was, they said the most important thing as a Mandalorian was to keep the helmet on. I was like, I'm preaching that. You see, you and I have a tendency, not that we want to break covenant with God, but we want to put him on the shelf. We love to put him on the shelf until we need him. We don't have the Bible app in any of our favorites. It's not on our home screen. Our hard copy Bible just sits as a decorative piece on a bookshelf or a nightstand. And said, in order to stay in covenant, to be protected, to walk the way, the thing you got to do is keep your helmet on. Now, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians to wrap this up, because there's a parallel scripture here that I think explains what salvation is even more. But since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, check this out, the hope of salvation. If you take your helmet off, it doesn't mean that you've lost salvation. It just means you've lost your protection. And a lot of us, we get hit upside the head so much because the enemy's like, man, I got to get them. Bible didn't say that the weapon wouldn't hurt. It just said that no weapon formed will prosper. It didn't say it wouldn't hurt. But for you and I, we have a problem leaving the helmet on. And I think it's because we lose hope. And I think because of that, we take these words of knowledge that people will give us, or these people that will come into our lives. Let me tell you something. I'm going to have a side note real quick. Satan knows a lot of stuff too. His demons know a lot of stuff too. Just because someone comes to you that knows something about you and starts quoting scripture, you better test that spirit before you just fall prey. Because words of knowledge from the enemy are true too, sometimes, and partially. It's the trap that he sets. And he uses ministers. He uses church people. He uses people with titles to try to convince you to go down a path that was already set up by the enemy. And so you and I can't hold on to words of knowledge all the time. What we have to hold on to is the hope of salvation. Because no matter how many times you and I get attacked, no matter how many times you and I mess up, no matter how many times the attack knocks us down, no matter how many times we hurt, let me tell you what, we're gonna go through things that are painful in life. We're gonna go through divorce. We're gonna go through deaths. We're gonna go through our kids leaving us at home. This whole body, all of you guys, like all of us, we're gonna experience stuff.
that's painful. And we're going to experience it with each other. But your life, your joy, every bit of everything that you have, it can never be built on the hope of happiness. It has to be built on the hope of salvation. Because you and I will go through things that are crazy in this world. We'll go through pain, we'll go through darkness, we'll go through tribulations, we'll go through trials. But what gets us to the other side is knowing that the things we're going to go through may be the same as the rest of the world, but what's on the other side for us is different. So I choose to put my hope in Jesus. That no matter how many attacks come my way, no matter how many times I have to deal with bouts of depression, no matter how many times I have to deal with bouts of pain, trials, temptations, all these things, I'm going to put my hope in Jesus. You have to put your hope in the Word of God. Because when people come to you and attack you, or when people come to you and try to manipulate you, you have the Word to fall back on. The Bible says, test the Spirit. The first thing you test it up against is the Word of God. If it does not align with the Word, and it does not come to pass, and the truth does not be revealed, if it does not line up with the Word, watch out for that person. Because the Bible tells us in the end times, there will be people that are given dreams or visions. And if there's not other people that are lining up with that, and number one, that lines up with Scripture, is it biblical? Wait. Test it. Don't trust in that person. Don't put your hope in a man or a woman coming to you saying, I saw this happen to you. I saw this happen to you. You need to hold on. You went in the lottery. You nuts. But Lord, if it be your will, you got a husband coming your way. Oh, that's good. I'm gonna wait and see. Paul says, better not to marry. So I'll wait. Don't put your hope in the things of the world that can give you temporary happiness, can give you happiness for a season. No, put your hope and faith and trust in Jesus. That's the only way. And I don't know about you, but I choose today to make a decision that I'm not going to put my hope in my money. I'm not going to put my hope in my career. I'm not going to put my hope in my spouse. I'm not going to put my hope in people. I'm going to put my hope in Jesus, the one who died for my sins, who died for your sins, the one who set you free, the one who saved you, the one who picked you up out of the craziest place, the one who broke the chains off of your ankles, the one who broke the chains off of your mind, the one who tore down the walls in your brain, the one who picked you up out of places that only He can pick you up out of. I refuse to put my hope in the world, and I choose only today to put my hope in salvation, the Word. His name is Jesus, and He came here today to set some people free and to save you from some situations. If you believe it, will you give God one more hand clap of praise? Come on, praise your Father. Praise the one who died for you. Come on, put your hope in Him. Hallelujah. This is the way. His name is Jesus. Just stay standing. Come on, I'm gonna pray. Lord, we love you. With all our hearts, we love you. We praise your name. We glorify you. God, save some people today. Let us walk out of here differently, Lord. Let us walk out of here today knowing that we are saved by your grace.
and saved by faith. All you said we have to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will save us. So God, we pray for salvation today. Salvation of people's souls, of their minds. Depression has no more place anymore because we choose to put on the helmet of salvation. There's no space in that mind anymore. Depression, no more. Anxiety, no more. Worry, no more. Fear, no more. Only peace, love, joy, and salvation. Save us as we walk through our week. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God one more hand clap of praise.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you can get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.